The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Catherine Martin joins me. She is the Minister for Tourism, Culture, Arts, Gaeltacht, Sport and Media. Minister, you are welcome to the show. What have you learned from these two new reports on RTE, and how are they going to inform what decisions you will make about the future of RTE?
I think these reports were really important, because what we needed was, you know, I suppose due to the scale of the financial, organisational and reputational issues facing RTE, we needed that in-depth root and branch examination, and there was a clear need for recommendations. So they're the first reports to have recommendations, and we have 116 recommendations. I really think it charts a path forward for RTE. And I would be confident that if these recommendations are implemented, they will improve the governance of RTE, both externally and internally, and ensure that the culture of the organisation better reflects the value of public service broadcasting that we see demonstrated by staff every day. And I think it's really important that, critically, when I met the DG and the chair yesterday, they agreed to accept the recommendations. There are 116, as I said, 101 are connected to RTE, and they've agreed to accept those. The other 15 government have agreed to accept too, and I will move forward now with hopefully to receive an implementation plan from RTE within 6 weeks.
When will a decision be made on future funding?
The future funding decision will be made before the summer recess. This was something that was discussed. I discussed with leaders yesterday. It was referenced in Cabinet also, and we're absolutely committed to making that decision before the summer recess.
What's your preference for future funding?
Well, I've always said that I believe that the Exchequer funding model is worth revisiting. I think it works in other areas too, in other countries. And given the fact that at the moment we have, last year, more than half of the spending on public service broadcasting was Exchequer, 148 million out of 271 million. So I think Exchequer already plays a significant role in funding public service media. TG Cahir are almost entirely Exchequer funded, 56 million last year and 57 this year. And I, as I said, it's been introduced in other countries. It works. It's the future of media recommendation. And I believe it's worthy of consideration.
The suggestion has emerged into the narrative and into the public domain the last few days that there might be some hybrid model, a mixture of licence fee funding and Exchequer funding. One suspects that hasn't happened by accident. Somebody with the stake in all this, I suspect somebody sitting around the Cabinet table, has flown that particular kite. What's your view?
As I said yesterday, I believe that's something that hasn't been firstly, it hasn't been recommended to me by any experts. And I think we should be leaning on expert groups, or even the technical working group that I set up that examined this in detail. A hybrid model was not something that was brought to my table from either.
Has it been brought up
it
with
hasn't
you
been brought
by
up
anyone
to me.
Else?
It hasn't been brought up with me by anyone else.
By experts, by other politicians,
no.
By Cabinet colleagues?
No. It's not something that's been brought up to me. So it's, my understanding is, from my discussions, is we're looking at two, either directly Exchequer-funded model or some sort of broadcasting charge. And I do believe what I'm reading about a hybrid model would represent the worst of both worlds, because you're still going to have, you know, the Exchequer funding competing every year in a budget, whereas with direct Exchequer, you can do that multi-annual, have it ring-fenced, recommended by an independent regulator. But with the hybrid, you'd also then have some form of broadcasting charge that would be revenue collected, and that would bring 500,000 more households on board, because looking at the facts here, there are about 500,000 households that either do not have a TV or there is evasion.
Yeah, they have a TV. I mean, the overwhelming majority of them probably have a TV. I think most people would accept that.
Yeah.
So that's going to have to be an issue dealt with. The concern we understand, particularly from Fianna Fáil and senior members within that party all the way up to the top, is that we'll end up with, how did they describe it in one quote I read reported in the Irish Independent, a runaway train like health spending?
No, and it's quite clear in the future media recommendations that this, you would ring fence through recommendations from Commissioner Newman. The amount would be multi-annual, as is done in other countries. So that could be 5, 6, 7 years. It'd be ring fenced. There would be safeguards set in, most importantly, including the funding levels being established and recommended by that independent regulator. And as I said, multi-annual protects it too. So I don't believe that it would be anything that should be run away. That's not what we're seeing in other countries other countries like such as Norway, Sweden have brought that in. We're not seeing it run away there.
So the timeline, you hope a decision made before the summer recess. When might people expect to be paying either kind of their own volition or through taxation into this new funding model?
Well, we'll have to legislate, and I think that my aim would be one piece of, like, a single piece of legislation that would not only implement that funding decision, but also the recommendations that are relevant to government. So, for example, the assigning the Controller and Auditor General as the Auditor of RTE, or anything that strengthens the accountability of the Director General under legislation. So we'd have to get that legislation through first. So the Future of Media Commission report did say until it's legislated for that there would be a need for interim funding. So there most likely be interim funding in the next budget.
But again, and I appreciate, you know, how long it's a piece of string, there's a nature of that to this question. I mean, when would you hope to have all this done and dusted? When people listening to this who want to know when a new system will be in force?
Look, obviously, there's a tight timeline given that the Dáil's full term runs to no later than March next year. But I'm determined to push forward on this, seek the cooperation of all members of both houses when we have that legislation ready to introduce to the Dáil and progress through the Seanad too. And I have heard some opposition members saying they're willing to cooperate on that. That I think it needs to be fast tracked. So I would really like to get this done. If possible, before the end of this government's term,
which is possibly February next year. I mean, I know there are kind of legislative hurdles that you have to jump through, and everybody has to with the best will in the world. At the same time, it was June last year when all of this broke, this story, and I know you're waiting for these two reports. But people listening to this will wonder what you actually learned from these reports that they didn't know already. I mean, the dogs in the street knew last autumn that the organisation was badly run. It was badly managed from a financial point of view. There was this breakdown in communication, it seems, utterly between the board and the executive. The person at the fulcrum of it can't answer any questions due to ill health. That cutbacks would be needed, new governance structures would be needed, and a new funding model would be needed. And here we are 11 months after the fact, and it seems no decisions have been made.
But that's why yesterday was about the future looking piece, because now we have recommendations. It wasn't just about what we've learned over the last few months since the crisis emerged. It was about putting recommendations in place and, crucially, getting them accepted by government and by RTE, getting the implementation plan in place. So we will see timelines, the monitoring unit to make sure on a quarterly basis that RTE from my department and from New Era are being monitored for that implementation. So that is the difference.
But how are your decisions or your views or your attitude to the future funding of RTE, are they different this week compared to last week before you had these reports?
Well, I needed to see the recommendations, obviously. It's very comprehensive reports, the two reports. And I also needed RTE to have sight of them and to agree to implement them. As I said, it's 101 recommendations that RTE have agreed to, and I would have had a problem if RTE hadn't agreed to implement the changes, given what we have learned over the last year and the need for substantial reform. So I think that is a very positive step.
Was there never a point in the last 10 months where you thought, I'm just going to grasp the nettle and make some decisions here? And constantly commissioning reports is not making a decision.
Well, I didn't constantly commission reports. There were the reports I commissioned were in July, and they were the reports that emerged yesterday, that were published yesterday. So I wasn't on a constant issuing of reports. There were the three reports that I commissioned. They were done by experts, and I commend them for their work on that. And they're the reports that we published yesterday. Everything else you would have seen were fact-finding, you know, but they weren't from government, weren't commissioned by government. And I think it's really important that we now have the future-looking piece. We see the way of charting the path forward. And of course, that
but
reform...
You've tied your own hands in terms of the amount of time available to you to actually effect change, in terms of how long it has taken these reports to be compiled.
But
you want everybody in the Rockers to row in behind you and help you get this legislation over the line. And if that happens, a big if that happens, it might be done during the term of this government, which would be over 18 months after the story broke?
Because we must be in a position where we're making the funding decision. It's hard to argue for a funding decision unless you have full confidence that there are recommendations in place that RTE have absolutely signed up to. And that's an essential part of you know, getting agreement on the funding model.
Which one of these 100 plus recommendations couldn't have been made in September last year?
The work was ongoing at that stage. So
but the writing was on the wall.
116 recommendations is a quite substantial body of work. And I think in fairness to the staff of RTE, what is really important is the cultural change that has been signalled with this, that has been accepted by RTE. The agreement for the nurturing of talent, real fair progression within RTE too. And that the funding model as well, I just like to point out, isn't all about RTE either. It's also TG Carr, but it's also the interest of the whole media sector, and will fundamentally be about supporting public service content, whether delivered by RTE, TG Carr, or other media providers. So it'll replace, you know, what we're doing on the Sound and Vision scheme. It's about supporting trustworthy news and content provided by Irish media throughout the country, and it's about continuing to support broadcasters and independent producers, not only RTE.
If Bambi Thug wins the Eurovision, do you suspect RTE will be able to afford hosting the competition?
All I can say is I watched Bambi Thug last night, and I thought it was an amazing, electric performance, and I'm delighted for them, and delighted that we're through to the final. I think it's a nice bounce for the nation, and I just wish them the very best of luck on Saturday. Thank you very much.
The government would have to give RTE a dig out there, wouldn't they? I mean, it's unconscionable that we couldn't host it, that the national broadcaster couldn't host it.
Look, all I'd say in that, wouldn't it be great if we won the Eurovision? I think Bambi Thug has a real chance at this, and I wish him the very best.
So we'll take that as a yes. Of course the government would give him a dig out.
Of course I wish Bambi Thug the very best of luck.
Listen, before I let you go, Minister, because we're going to be talking about it in about 30 minutes' time, do you think election posters should be banned, or certainly limits placed on where they can be erected in terms of waste?
Well, I suppose the Green Party would always have the position that the restricted use of posters is where we would be. And I know Minister Noonan, my colleague, has asked the Electoral Commission to look at the use of posters in its programme of work, and expecting report back to Minister Brian and Minister Noonan. And, you know, I was on the way to school today with one of my children. They said, like, why is there a need for that one person to have four posters on one roundabout? I said, exactly. There is no need for that. And what we would propose would be designated areas of postering. So, like, the posters are really about just an awareness that an election is happening. I don't think we need the amount of posters. And indeed, Minister Noonan himself has been elected without any posters in the last general election. But I think we need a level playing field and of course, agreement to do this.
Minister Catherine Martin, thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.